What I want to discuss with you tonight is one particular aspect of Yom HaKippurim which is a bit foreign to us in the sense that we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. And how are you? And one of the experiences of Yom HaKippurim back in the day took place in the Beit HaMikdash. That's called the Avoda. And there's an entire Seder Avoda, and the Kohen Gadol was in charge of that. It was very complicated. And if I had to highlight what I think is the most important, or the apex of the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim, I would say it's something called the Shnei HaSeirim. The Shnei HaSeirim, the two goats that are brought on Yom HaKippurim, as the Torah describes here in Parashas Achrimos, in Perek Tezayin, the Torah says, "V'somach Aaron ashtei yodav al rosh ha-soyer ha-chai." So one of the two Seirim was brought as a korban, like any other korban. The other was still alive, and Aaron, as the Kohen Gadol, would place his two hands on the head of the soyer, v'hisvada olav. He would recite vidui. And who was he reciting vidui? Or what sins was he confessing? His own personal sins? No, the Torah says, eskol avonos bnei Yisrael. So basically he was what we would call the shliach tzibur, representing the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and he was reciting a confession on behalf of the whole Klal Yisrael. And then the Torah says, v'shilach, what did he do with the second soyer? Again, the first soyer, which is called soyer l'Hashem, was brought where? On the Mizbeach, like any other carver, right? What did they do with the second soyer? Does anybody know? Correct. V'shilach b'yad ish iti amidbara. It was sent out of Yerushalayim, out of the Beis HaMikdash, all the way to the desert. V'nosa ha-soyer, all of us, kol avonos, Avonosom, and the Sawyer, because that's where the Kohen Gadol had recited the vidui on the head of the Sawyer, now it gets sent to the Midbar al Eretz Gzera, a far desolate place, the Shilach Sasar Midbar, and that's going to be the clincher, the apex of the entire service of Yom HaKippurim. That's when the Kapara, the atonement, is going to be clinched on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. In fact, the Rambam says that the power of the Soyer was so great that it could be Mechaper even without tshuva. That's pretty wild. You know, you're talking about sinners. So let's say a person violated every single mitzvah in the Torah, every mitzvah saseh, every positive command. He violated all the lavim in the Torah, the losa says, and yet he achieves the kapara on Yom HaKippurim of the Sarah Mishtaleach without tshuva. That's pretty cool. In fact, we're going to see soon that the Sarah Mishtaleach is even mechaper on an avera that you haven't even done yet. Let's say Yom HaKippurim is 24 hours and the Sawyer was sent Lazazel at 12 noon and you did an avera subsequent to 12 noon, the Sawyer could be mechaper even for that. But we'll get up to that later. Now, the next avoda, it's not really an avoda, but the next responsibility of the Kohen Gadol after he sent the Sawyer with the Ish Iti was to read the Torah. He actually read the Torah publicly.
Read the Torah publicly?
Yeah, the Kohen Gadol himself. He was the Baal Kore. And the Rambam tells us exactly what, you know, what he read. The Rambam says he read from the Parsha of Achrimos, which tells us the entire Seder Avoda. That's number one. And then he read from Parshas Emor, which is Parshas HaMoados. He was meant to read also Parshas Pinchas, but Parshas Pinchas is very far. You see, Achrimos and Emor are pretty close, so it would take a few seconds just to roll the Sefer Torah. Right, so they just have to roll. But to go to Sefer Bamidbar, to Parshas Pinchas, which is deep into Bamidbar, that would require another Sefer Torah. They didn't want to waste any time. That's called Tircha de Sibura. And therefore the Kohen Gadol will recite Parshas Pinchas Balpeh, orally. out of memory, wrote memory. So I want to say Shalom Aleichem to the fellows who came now.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm just glad that you're here. And we're learning about the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. I'll just fill you in on what you missed. The Avodah Yom HaKippur has an entire Seder to it, a whole order to it. And there was a main man. You know, he was the main actor on the stage. He had to be in charge of all the Avodah, and he was the Kohen God. At the time of the first Yom HaKippurim, it was Aaron HaKohen. And then it followed suit for, let's say, about 1,000 years during Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, through the Kohen Gadol. Okay. Now, what we suggested was that the apex, the pinnacle of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, which brought the Kapara, the atonement of Yom HaKippurim, for all of Klal Yisrael, was the Shnei HaSeirim. You remember, how did it decide which of the two, what did the two Seirim look like?
Exactly.
They were exactly identical. And how did we know which one was going to be Lashem and which one was Lazazel? The red string is going to come later, but first there was a lottery. What's that called in Lashon Kodesh?
Goral.
Correct. So there was a Goral, and there's half a chapter of Masech Yuma that addresses this concept of a Goral, and how exactly they did the Goral. That's called Taraf Bekalfi. And once they decided that this one, hopefully it was the one on the Kohen Gadol's right, that was the Siman Bracha, would be sent Lashem, that would be a Karbon, and then the other one would be sent Lazazel, and the Torah describes how the Kohen Gadol would send the Sarah Lazazel with an Ish Iti. He was a special guy who was in charge of bringing the Sarah all the way out to the desert. And then the Sarah was sent off a Tzuk, a very high pinnacle of a mountain, and then the Sarah would be smashed to smithereens. The historians claim that if you look on the road near Male Adumim, having been to Male Adumim, you'll see certain redness in the color of the stones there. They claim that's exactly where the Sarah Lazazel was sent off the cliff. Okay.
So many times it's stained the stones?
That it stained the stones. I think it's more of like a legend than a historical reality. Okay. So again, to review, what was the next moment in the life of the Kohen Gadol after he fulfilled the mitzvah of sending the Sarah Lazazel? What was his next service or his next responsibility? To read what? To read the Torah. Okay. Now, the reading of the Torah was done in what's called the Ezras Noshim. All the other avodos were done in the Azara. The Azara was the holy part of the Migdash, and that's where all the Karbonas had to be brought. But after the Sayer was sent Lazazel, and the Kohen was in charge of reading the Torah, he left the confines of the Kodesh, which is called the Azara, and he entered into the Ezras Noshim. And that's where he recited and read the Torah. Okay then? What we want to discuss tonight is at what moment in time was the Kohen Gadol allowed to leave the Azara, enter into the Ezras Noshim in order to fulfill his obligation to read the Torah? Who can give me two possible answers to that question? What was the critical moment? Because again, the mitzvah of what's called Shiluach HaSoyer had to be complete, and then and only then was the Kohen Gadol allowed to read the Torah.
So either, two possible times?
Correct.
So either I would say after, when the Sar leaves the gates of the city, or when the Sayer is actually pushed off the cliff.
Okay, so the second answer that you gave is correct. That's certainly one of the two possibilities. The third one is not correct. And Lechora, you're right, logically, but for some reason, we're going to see in a minute, that the Kohen Gadol could only read the Torah when the Sayer reached the Midbar. There was a long trip. In fact, the Mishnayos in Yuma describe how there were stations that called sukkos, booths that were set up all the way along the road until the Ish Iti would reach the final sukkah, which was the furthest out, deep into the Midbar, and that's where they sent the Sar off the cliff. What happened when the Ish Iti passed through each one of these sukkos?
There would be like a guy who would switch off.
Not switch off, but he would ask him if he needed to what?
Eat.
To eat or drink. It means that if he was weak and he felt that he couldn't complete the task of bringing the Sayer all the way out there, and the entire Klal Yisrael depended upon that mitzvah in order to achieve the Kapara, they would allow him, and he was obligated to violate Yom HaKippur, to eat and drink if necessary. Okay, the Mishnah testifies that never was an actual occasion that the Ishiti was so weak that he had to violate Yom Kippur. But keep in mind, this is the middle of the day, it's very hot. If you've been out to the desert, you know that people get very... And he's carrying the Sayer, he's schlepping the Sayer along, and that's why they set up the Sukkos. So basically what we're going to analyze now are two possibilities. Possibility number one is the moment that the Sayer reaches the Midbar, at that moment the Kohen Gadol left the Azara to read the Sefer Torah, or the moment that the Sayer was sent off the Tzuk in order to smash into smithereens, that's the moment when the mitzvah was completed and the Kohen Gadol would leave the Azara to read the Sefer Torah. Those are going to be the two possibilities. Okay, I have a Gemara Yuma here. Let me just take this out and I'll read something to you from the Gemara in Yuma. Do you gentlemen ever use the Masifta Gemara? Highly recommended. So it's just in my book, it's the best in the business. Okay, we'll pick this up a little bit later. Okay, so we're looking in Masechta Yuma, or Yoma, as it's called, and we're going to take a look at the last Mishnah in the 6th Perek and the first Mishnah in the 7th Perek. The Mishnah says the following. Amru lo le Kohen Gadol. They notified the Kohen Gadol. He giyah sayer la midbar. The sayer has already arrived at the midbar. Now they didn't have phones. They didn't have texting. How did the Kohen Gadol get the word that on Yom Kippur itself that the sayer had already reached the midbar? Okay, so that's what we're going to discuss. Anyway, the sayer reaches the midbar. The Kohen Gadol knows about it. Balo Kohen Gadol likros. Now he leaves the azara. And he goes where? Into the Ezra's Noshim, and he's going to read the Sefer Torah. It means which one of our two answers is correct? The Midbar answer. And the Gemara... Yeah?
Is it possible that he would go out when... They would notify him when it reached the Midbar, because by the time that it got back to him, the Sayer would already be like farther along and be almost like be pushing.
I don't think so, because I'll tell you the system that they operate with, as we'll soon see, got the word back to the Kohen Gadol almost instantly. Right. It was really cool. We'll see in a minute. But what I want to read to you is one line in the Gemara. The Gemara says that this Mishnah that says Amrlo l'Kohen Gadol higia sar l'midbar then bolo likros is kasav Rab Yehuda. It goes according to the sheet of Rab Yehuda. Yeah. If the Gemara mentions the sheet of Rab Yehuda, what does that imply?
Nothing.
That not everyone is going to agree with this, right? Correct? And kasav Rab Yehuda kevan shehigia sayer l'midbar nasa mitzvasa, that the mitzvah of the sayer was complete the moment the sayer reached the midbar. There was no need to do what then, according to Rab Yehuda, to push it off the cliff. That shita that we have to push the sayer off the cliff reflects the shita of the chachamim that disagree with Rab Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda himself says it's enough that the Sayer reached the Midbar. Okay then? So that's just an introduction to what we want to study. Now, the first page in your handout is a photocopy of the Rambam. I use this Rambam, which is called the Rambam La'am. I don't know if you're familiar with it, of Moshe Rav Kook. And if you take a look in Halacha Zayin, which is on the right side, this is Perek Gimel Milchus Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam says, V'acher kach, Mishalech Sasor Achai, after the Kohen Gadol recited the Vidui on the Sayer, he would send it Biyad Ish HaMuchan Laholicho LaMidbar. So it would be sent out to the Midbar with a person who was designated before Yom Kippur. Okay. Now, if you shift towards the end of this very long halacha, and you look on the left side of your page, the Rambam is going to tell us, also based on Mishnayos, how was it that the word got back to the Kohen Gadol that the Sayer reached the Midbar? And the Rambam says the following, Vidarchios hayu osim, and if you take a look in the footnote, he tells you what these darchios are. Actually, My mistake, it's not here. It's a footnote here in Masif. Anyway, these dachios were banners, and they stationed each one of these dachios at very close proximity, one from the other, so it was visible. Umeinifin b'sudarim, and they would simply wave a flag, and there was an automatic relay system. Kidei sheyedu shehigia sar lamidbar. Okay? And then if you look in Halacha Ches, the Rambam says, Kevan shehigia sar lamidbar, yatza kohen gadol liezras hanashim likros batorah. The very moment that the Tsar reached the Midbar, and the Kohen Gadol got word because of these Darchios and the Menifim Besudrin, then he would leave the Azara, he would read the Torah in the Ezras Nosh. Good? So how does the Rambam Paskin? Like which Shita? Again, according to the Chachamim say that it's not enough that the Tsar Mishtalech reached the Midbar, it's got to be sent off the cliff. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's enough that it reaches the Midbar. So which Shita is reflected in the codes of the Rambam? Nobody's following me?
Midbar.
Yeah, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Again, let's get the name straight. There's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda.
It's going to the desert.
Going into the desert. Then there's the Shita Chachamim has to be sent off the cliff. The Rambam says, and it's right there in front of you in Halacha Ches, Kevan Shehigia Sar LaMidbar, Yatza Kohen Gadol Liezras Noshin. And the Gemara says that our Mishnah is Kasavik Rav Yehuda, the whole type of Yehuda, Kevan Shehigia Sar LaMidbar, Nasis Mitzvah. So the Rambam is paskening like Rav Yehuda. Is he not? That itself, by the way, is a little bit odd, because as a general rule, if you have Machlok between one Tana and the Chachamim, who do we paskin like? Like the Chachamim, correct? Because Achir Rav Lahatos, right? Yochid v'Ravim Alochi Karav. Now, if you take a look in your handout, what I'd like you to do is flip to the other side of this Rambam, and you'll see on the left column on the bottom a photocopy of Chidushei Hagram v'Hagrid. Let me just tell you, this is what the Sefer looks like. Chidushei Hagram v'Hagrid. And these are Chidushim that were insights into Torah that were worked out by a father-son combination. They learned together for many, many years. The Gram is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the father, and the Grid is Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the son. And I was zocher to learn by Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. My father, Zichron Levrach, was zocher to learn by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. In fact, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik married off my parents. So the Rambam is quoted here on the bottom left. And the Rambam says, first he starts with Halacha Zayin, and then he jumps to Halacha Ches. Acher kach mishaleach es ha-soyer ha-chai b'yad ish ha-muchan lo-licha le-midbar v'darchi also ye-osu v'enifim v'sudj k'day she-yedu she-yigi ha-soyer le-midbar kevin she-yigi ha-soyer le-midbar, this is already halacha ches yotza kohen gadol yezris noshim likros ba-torah ad kan l'shono. And the Rambam is codifying what we saw in the Mishnah, but there's only one problem. The Gemara says that Mishnah reflects the opinion of whom? Rabbi Yehuda, they gia sar la midbar nasis mitzvaso. Well, who does the Rambam paskin like? So if you take a look again back in the Rambam, flip back to the first page.
What does paskin mean?
Oh, paskin means to decide the halacha in favor of. Okay? Thank you for asking me that question. I don't know, you know, this is the first time we got together to learn, so I don't know, you know, what language is familiar to you, what not. So please stop me if I'm unclear. In any event, the Rambam here in Halacha Zayin tells us exactly what happened with the Tsar HaMishtaleach. And guess what? The Rambam says, Kesad Hoya Ose, it's the next to the last line on the right side of your page. What was this Iti, the Ish Mucham, what does he do? Cholek Lashon Shel Zahoris Shebekarnov. He used to take a piece of scarlet wool and split it in half. Part of it, he would say, chetzio, half of it, kosher besela, he would tie down to a stone, right? That's before the precipice. The chetzio, the other half, he would tie bein shtei karnov, it was tied to the horns of this goat. V'dochafo, and he pushed the lachorav backwards from his galgil v'yoret, and then it would roll down the mountain. And then what eventually happens to the part of the scarlet wool that's left up on top, that's tied down to a stone? What happens to that? Anybody know? There was a miracle. What happened? Right, but no, not red. It would turn from red to white. And that was an indication that what?
God had accepted.
Correct, that God had accepted the carbon, and now it was the sins of Klal Yisrael, which are always compared to the red color, are now completely whitened because we achieved the kapara of the Sara Mishtaleach. So my friends, when according to the Rambam, is the kapara of the Sara Mishtaleach clinched? When you push it off. But the Rambam told us that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to leave the Azara, and he's obligated to go into the Ezra Snosh to read the Sefer Torah immediately when the Sar reaches what? The Midbar. It's going to be a while until it gets pushed off. And the Psak of the Rambam, which means the decision of the Rambam, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that the mitzvah of the Sar is completed when it reaches the Midbar. But the Rambam himself requires that the Sar be taken where? To the Tzuk, and pushed off the Tzuk. So that's what you'll see on the bottom of your page. He quotes the Tosus Yeshanim, who says on the last line, he says, Dil Rabbi Yehuda, takef immediately kshegia hasayir, and now we're going on to the second page, La Midbar, Hayaloshen shel Zahuris Melaben. According to Rabbi Yehuda, at what point in time did the scarlet turn into white? When the Sar reached the Midbar. Mishum de Kvar, already at that moment, this Kaima Mitzvah Shiluach, the Nigmara Kapara. Vidin Dechiel Litzuk Rabbi Yehuda, Eino Ma'akev. In truth, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not absolutely, shall we say, indispensable that we push the sire off the tzuk. It's not absolutely necessary. Upolig, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, Al Hadim Avur B'Mishnah, which the Mishnah says in Yuma Samach Zayin, the Chetzi Al Kosher B'Sela, the Chetzi Ben Karnov, Mishum Da Lo Malbin, according to that opinion, it wouldn't become white, Rak Li Achar Adchia, until after it was pushed over the tzuk. Asher lefi zeh, if that be the case, tzarech iyun, we have to understand the Rambam, she posak, there's that word posak again, right? The chetzio kosher b'selav, a chetzio bein, karnov, loy malavin, malbin, rakli achar dechia. Harei de sover, the Rambam reflects the opinion of the Chachamim, the lo niskaima, v'lo nigma, mitzvah shiluach, ki imli achar dechia litzuk. If that be the case, how could the Rambam impose an obligation on the Kohen Gadol to leave the Azara at the moment that the Sayer reaches the Midbar, if the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of the Sayer is only fulfilled later when it's pushed off the Tzuk? So let's just summarize the contradiction in the Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, and he says that the mitzvah is fulfilled the moment that the Sayer reaches the Midbar. And that's why the Rambam says at that moment when the Kohen Gadol gets the word, it's relayed back to him that the Sayer has arrived to the Midbar. He, the Kohen Gadol, now leaves the Azara and reads the Sefer Torah. On the other hand, the Rambam says that the Lashon Shel Zahuris and the Kapara is only clinched later, like the Chachamim, when the Sayer is sent off the pinnacle, the precipice. How do we reconcile these two Rambams? Okay, then, is the question clear?
No, wait, sorry. I came a little late.
Okay. So, there's a machlokas, there's a controversy between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. When is the mitzvah of the Sayer, of the He-Goat, when is it clinched? When is it completed? According to Chachamim, it's only completed when the Sayer is sent off this precipice.
Like the cliff, and then
the cliff.
The Rambam and Rabbi Yehuda, it's when it reaches the desert.
Wait, before you get to the Rambam, so Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, that's, you know, 1,000 years before the Rambam, he disagrees with the Chacham. He says the mitzvah is complete when the Sayer reaches the Midbar, much earlier. Okay, so the question is, when is the kapara, the atonement, on behalf of Kol Yisrael clinched? At what moment in time? If you're the chacham, it's not going to be clinched until the sire is sent off the cliff, and that's when the scarlet turned white. If you hold like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, at what point is the kapara clinched, and at what point is the scarlet therefore going to turn to white? As soon as it reaches the midbar. And the nafkamina is going to be, the difference will be whether or not the Kohen Gadol could leave the Azara and read the Sefer Torah. He can only do so when the mitzvah of the Sar is completed. So since the Rambam says, and that's on your first page in Halacha Chesed Perek Gimel, Kevan Shehigi Asar LaMidbar Yotza Kohen Gadol Yezrus Noshim Likros, it means that the Rambam is reflecting which opinion? Who says that the mitzvah is completed when it reaches the midbar? Rabbi Yehuda. But wait a second, let's go back to Halacha Zayin, and the Rambam tells us no, that the mitzvah of the Sayer and the Kapara is only completed when Dochaf Olachora Vumizgal Gil Viore, when it's sent off the precipice. That reflects the Sheet of the Chachamim. So who is the Rambam basking like? Who is he accepting? Is he accepting the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Or is he accepting the Sheet of the Chachamim? You know, like, be consistent over here. You know, the Rambam is famous for his codes. You know, he's one of the greatest codifiers of Jewish law that we ever had, maybe the greatest. And yet, from one halacha to the other, he contradicts himself.
What is
Brian?
Yeah, you got it. What's okay. The second when it's fully completed? What's the wording that's used when Rambam being related to Rabbi Yehuda, and what's the wording when it's used?
Well, when he talks to Rabbi Yehuda, he says he giyas sa'ir la midbar. When he reflects the sheet of the Chachamim, he says dochafovu mizgalgel v'yorit.
But what's the? Is the clinching the same? The clinching that he talks about with regards to Rabbi Yehuda, and the clinching he's talking about when he with regards to the Chachamim, the same exact?
No, again, in Rabbi Yehuda, he says kevan shegiyas sar la midbar. That's very early in the stage. Right. You know, the desert of Judea is very close to Jerusalem. I don't know exactly how long it took, but let's say it took an hour until the Ish Iti reached the Soil Amidbar. Then he had to go all the way out to a precipice. That took another hour and push it off.
Right, but that clinching, that act of fulfilling the mitzvah, it's the same in both cases, right?
No, again, in the first case, all you have to do is bring it to the Midbar.
Yeah.
That's it. That's finito. The story is over. The mitzvah is complete. In the Sheet of the Chachamim, the mitzvah is still incomplete until the Soil is sent over the precipice. So who is the Rabbi Paskins like?
I'm saying what does it mean for it to be complete? When Rambam says does that mean it's like, oh, it's fulfilled?
And then yes.
And then when he says, when it goes to the Chachamim, when he says it goes over the cliff, is that when it's fully complete?
There isn't. That's why the only way of answering this question is to conceptualize.
It's not clear exactly.
Now, I just want to give you guys a little bit of background in terms of my orientation, because again, this is the first time that we've ever met in a shir. And what I want to tell you is that I belong to a certain school of thought, a methodology. And it's commonly known, you know, that's the name on the street, it's called Brisk. Are you familiar with that? And I actually have a series of lectures which I put online called Tools for Brisk, meaning to learn how to use the Brisker methodology. And I want to tell you this, Rabosai, what I'm about to tell you now, based on this Sefer, which is called Chidush HaGram VaGrid, which we're going to study together, is a classic example of Tools for Brisk. And that's one of the reasons I'm very excited about this Shtickl Torah. Because I believe that this could give you a method of learning. What I like to give the example is, if I put food on the table, you can eat it with your hands. But if you're more sophisticated, and you're not so primitive, you'll eat it with a spoon, a fork, and a knife. These are tools. And they, you know, a knife, if it's sharp, will cut your food very carefully. What the Brisk Derech did for us, I think, is it gave us a fork, a spoon, and a knife. It gave us categories to analyze halacha. What we're looking at in front of us, from halacha Zayin to halacha Ches, here in Perek Gimel Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur, is a head-on collision, an absolute irreconcilable contradiction. But what we're going to see is if that we make a move, you know, like in basketball, you know, you make a move, or in football, right? So if you're going to make what I call a brisker move, all of a sudden the contradiction completely dissipates. And I want to read this with you. Again, we're not going to read every word. We're going to highlight certain points and get the concept. And I'm going to try to show you that I believe that the original source for this brisker methodology, as it applies in this case, is a Rashi in Chumash. That's going to be my addition to this discussion. Okay. So if you're looking here on the page, Rav Soloveitchik asks the following question. The Gemara establishes in Yuma, based on an extra pasuk, that if the ish iti becomes tameh, nevertheless he enters into the azara to receive the sayer from the hands of the kohen god. Okay, so if you take a look here, mevuar biyuma daf samach vov, and I underlined what I think is the highlights. Tzarech likanis lazara. Likach es ha-soyer. The ish iti has to personally enter into the azara to receive the soyer. And despite the fact that a tamei is enjoined from entering into the azara, keep in mind the azara is the holiest place in the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, we're going to override that for the sake of the avodas ha-soyer. So the Rav asks the following question. Tzarech iyun, I don't understand. Lama tzarech likanes la-azara. Why does the ish iti have to enter into the azara? Lahotzias asar chutz la'azara. Yecholim lahotzias asar chutz la'azara. The Kohen Gadol could have taken the sayer out of the azara, it's a few steps, given it over to the ish iti, and there would be no need for the ish iti, who's now in a state of tumah, to violate the isur tumah. And based on this, Rav Soloveitchik concludes, asher nira. Again, if you fast forward a couple of lines, I underlined it, but I don't know, it didn't come out so well in the photocopy. Asher nire to whom ishum the etzem maisa shiluach v'kiyumo tzarech lios al yedei kohen gadol v'humi kiyume kohen gadol shall say their avodas hayom. Okay, let me take a deep breath and try to explain what he's saying here. Who is actually, according to the halacha, fulfilling the mitzvah of Shiluach HaSoir? It's the Kohen Gadol himself. And it has to be the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because this is an essential, integral part of the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and the person in charge of implementing the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim is the Kohen Gadol, and no one but the Kohen Gadol. In fact, the first Mishnah in Yuma tells you what happens if the Kohen Gadol, for some reason, cannot function. They already appointed a second string Kohen Gadol, and he'll immediately fill in. But no one other than a Kohen Gadol could fulfill the Seder Avodas Hayom. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the Shiluach HaSoir is an integral part of the Seder Avodas Hayom, and therefore it must be fulfilled by whom? By the Kohen Gadol. If that be the case, Rabbi Osai, what is the status, halachically, of the Ish Iti?
The Shaliach.
Exactly, he's the Shaliach. And the Rav says that if he's the Shaliach, then every moment that he is fulfilling his Shlichus, his fulfillment as an agent relates back to the Kohen Gadol who sent him on this Shliach.
Kohen can't be doing something, he can't be reading from the Torah because he's, conceptually speaking, he's doing another mitzvah at the same time.
Well, it's even more than that. The reading of the Sefer Torah took place where, Rav Osai? In the Ezra Noshim. And the Avodas Hayom from A to Z, from soup to nuts, had to take place where? In the Azara. Any avoda outside the Azara is automatically disqualified. If the Kohen Gadol is involved in the avoda of the Sayer, just that he's sending a long arm, he's sending a proxy he must stay inside the Azara in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaSoyer. So it's an amazing concept that's going on over here, my friends. The actual appointment of the Shliach, the critical moment in which the Kohen Gadol appoints this Ish Iti at the Shliach, is what moment?
When he hands it over.
Correct. What's that called in Lashon Kodesh? Mesira. Okay, in Mesira. the Mesira kicks off the process of the Avodas HaSoyer, of the Shiluach HaSoyer. That is stage number one. Therefore, by definition, where does that have to take place? In the Azora. If now the Shaliach became Tameh, and he can't enter into the Azora, then the Mesira, which as we said is the kickoff of this entire process of Shiluach HaSoyer, will not be able to be fulfilled. It's got to be fulfilled as all the Avodos in the Azora. Therefore, this Shaliach, which we call the Ishiti, even though he's Tameh, he's going to have to enter into the Azora to receive the Soyer through the act of Mesira from the hands of the Kohen Gadol.
Right.
If you have a backup Kohen Gadol, why can't you have a backup... Why can't you have a backup Shaliach? Kal v'chomer, if you have a Kohen Gadol who takes so much training and so much preparation, how can't you have a...
Okay, that's an excellent question, Brian. I don't know the answer to that question offhand. You know, I'll take it under advisement. But take a look at the pasuk that he quotes over here. Ukirichsiv Kra, the Pasuk says, this is Pasuk Chaf Aleph in Perek Tet Zayin. If somebody could... I'm okay. In Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Torah says, V'shilach b'yad ish iti hamidbara. Why does the Torah choose the word v'shilach? That's a deliberate choice of a word. What does v'shilach mean? It means to appoint a shliach. This ish iti is defined halachically as a shliach, and he must be defined halachically. If he doesn't have the status of a shliach, then the Kohen Gadol is not fulfilling the mitzvah of the Soyer. The Kohen Gadol, on the one hand, has to do this avoda, which means he's got to be in the Azara, but yet on the other hand, paradoxically, the Soyer has to be taken out to the midbar. How can we fulfill both at the same time? And the answer is shlichus. Without the concept of shlichus, then the entire process of Kapara Yom HaKippurim is absolutely impossible. It's nonsensical. Because, like any other part of the process of the Seder Avodah, it has to be achieved in the Azara. But on the other hand, it's got to be taken out of the Azara and sent to the Midbar. The answer is that the Kohen Gadol is fulfilling the mitzvah of Shiluach HaSoyer LaMidbar by proxy. What word am I looking for? There's a word in English that I'm looking for. Vicariously, through the arm of the ish iti. The ish iti is like a long arm, but the feet of the Kohen Gadol are entrenched, grounded in the Azara. But every single second, that's what he writes, he says, Chalos din shel kiyum avodas hayom etzel kohen gadol yedei mesiras hasoyer al kain shapir tzorach hamashalech likonis lazor mibnei chalos kiyum avodas hayom shel kohen gadol shu rak ba'azor kichol seder avodas hayom. Okay, fine. Now we're ready for the revolution. Okay, this is going to be on the next page, which is the last page of this particular section. And the top word on your page, just for purposes of identification, is Lazar. Do you see that? I should have written like numbers on each page. Okay.
Wait, what?
Do you have this? This is what it looks like. Yeah, I'll take this from you. So save ourselves time. Okay. It'll say Nun Gimel on the top left. Okay. We're having trouble with the photocopy machine. It came out very light. So now Rav Soloveitchik makes another move, and he says the following: Kol zman, I underline, Kol zman shelo higia asar lamidbar, vashiluach lo niskayim adayin. Right? There's a process here, right? The Kohen Gadol is now appointed the shliach. Shliach is on his way, but he hasn't reached the midbar yet. Is the Kohen Gadol himself has not fulfilled his obligation of sending of the avod of the Soyer, right? So at what moment will the Kohen Gadol be able to leave the Azara? Only when the Kima Mitzvah of the Soyer has completed itself. We use the word clinched. Because until the clincher, he, the Kohen Gadol, is still involved in this mitzvah, but he hasn't fulfilled it. Therefore, Tzorich, Kohen Gadol,
Asur midaraisa, he's on a Torah law, he's not allowed to leave the Azara. Right? He's not allowed to take off his big day lavan. You may know that there were two types of begadim in the Kohen Gadol had to wear big day lavan during the Avodah. Vitzarech lios behechshero, he has to be in a state of being kosher, so to speak, suitable. Ad gmar mitzvah shiluach, tehu kiyumo, beseder avodah sayom. That's his fulfillment of the shliach, excuse me, of the sar mishtaleach. Vikodem gmara shiluach asur latzeis min azor lezus nosh. So the Kohen Gadol has to find out exactly at what point the mitzvah of the shiluach hasoyer has completed itself. Then the Kohen Gadol, and only then is he allowed to leave the azara and read the Torah. Okay, now we have to ask ourselves the question. So according to the Rambam, at what moment does the Kohen Gadol fulfill the mitzvah of shiluach hasoyer? And therefore, he's permitted to leave the Azara and read the Sefer Torah. Again, going back to the Rambam. The Rambam gives us a clear-cut answer to that question. Kevan shehigi Azara lamidbar, yotza Kohen Gadol ezras noshim likos b'Torah. So when did the Kohen Gadol fulfill his obligation as far as the avoda of the sire? Nobody's with me? Again, I'll read it again. The Kohen Gadol can't leave the Azara. Right? The Kohen Gadol can't leave the Azara until the mitzvah of Shiluach has completed itself. Then and only then can he leave the Azara, because again, he's obligated to fulfill the Seder Avodah. This is the pinnacle of the Seder Avodah, the Sire, in the Azara. So he can't leave the Azara until he's fulfilled the mitzvah. At what point does the Rambam say he fulfilled the mitzvah? Listen to the Rambam. Again, in the Salach Ches on the first page. Kevan shehigi Azara lamidbar, then Yotza Kohen Gadol Ezras Noshim Likros B'Torah. So obviously, when is the mitzvah completed?
When
the Sar reaches the Midbar. Correct? But wait a second. The Rambam tells us that the Ish Iti has to push the Sar Lazazel off the cliff. New brings us back to the original contradiction that we found. Okay. So here's where the Rav Soloveitchik pulls what I call tools for brisk. He says the following. He says if you read the psukim carefully, there are two psukim, one right after the other. Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, Vishilach biyad iti hamidbara. Hamidbara means it's got to reach the midbar. Pasuk Chav Beis, the next pasuk says, "V'nasa hasayir olav es kol avonosam el eretz gzera." The sayir is carrying on it, figuratively, all the sins of the people of Israel. And what do we have to do with the sayir that's carrying all the sins of the people? The Rambam tells us in Halacha Zayin, we have to chuck it off the precipice. Right? He says, what's the difference, my friends, between Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Pasuk Chaf Beis? What's the difference between Vishilach Biyad Ish Iti Hamidbara, and I emphasize the word Vishilach, and the word Hamidbara, which means it's got to reach the Midbar, and Pasuk Chaf Beis, V'nasa HaSa'ir Olav is called Avonosam, and it's got to be chucked off the cliff. What's the difference between the two?
I'm going to say until he reaches the Midbar, he's a Shaliach of the Kohen Gadol, and until he throws it off, he's a Shaliach for all of Israel.
Excellent. But look how the Rav says it. This is what I call tools for brisk at its best. Lefizeh Nicha, on the bottom right, Divrei Rambam. The Rambam paskins that at what point in time did the scarlet turn white and the kapara was achieved? Rakli achar dechiel etzuk, only after it was pushed off the cliff. Ubechalzos, nevertheless, pasak the takef kshegi asar lemidbar. The moment that the sar reached the midbar, yotzal likros, the Kohen Gadol could leave the azara. Why? Says the Rav, the Rambam, Sover, the opinion of the Rambam is the din shiluach, the obligation to send it, and the entire status thereof, shayach l'kiyuma l'seder avodah shel yom ha-kippurim, toluy rak b'midbar, the Kohen Gadol's obligation, as part of the seder avodah shel yom, to send the Sayer out to the midbar is clinched, is completed when the Sayer reaches the midbar. V'lo b'dechil etzuk. V'din shiluach shel dechil etzuk nemarak beha on the top left by hachefza shel Sayer ditzarech liskayim bo v'eino shayach l'kiyumo shel Kohen Gadol. Rabosai, Rav Soloveitchik is making a distinction between two kiyumim. Two different obligations. One obligation is what we call on the Gavra. Who's the Gavra? Who's the individual who's obligated? The Kohen Gadol. There's another obligation that is in the Chefza. Who is or what is the Chefza, the object here? The Sayyid. Ube'emes trei dinim heim. There are two different halachas b'parsha. Shiluach ha-soyer la-midbar, which is based on the first pasuk, which is pasuk of Aleph, v'shilach bi'ad ish iti ha-midbara, koi al-kohen gadol. That's the obligation that's incumbent on the Kohen Gadol as a gavra. And he fulfills that obligation the moment that the soyer reaches the midbar. And then, d'chiyoso litzuk, that obligation is derived from a different pasuk. Pasuk of Beis, Me'akrav, V'nosa, Asar, all of his call of Anosim, El Ezgzera, Tehu Chalos, Din, Shiluach, Bachefza, Shal Asar. That's a din in the Chefza of the Sayer. Delo Nemar, Velo Shayach Klal, LeKohen Gadol, that has nothing to do with the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol's obligation reaches its fruition and terminates once the Sayer reaches the Midbar. That's the Torah. The Torah imposed on the Kohen Gadol the obligation to see to it that the Sayer reaches the Midbar. But then there's a din in the Sayer itself. The Sayer itself, as a cheft, as an object, has to be pushed off the tzuk. The nafkamina, the difference is going to be at what point in time will the Kohen Gadol be allowed to leave the Azara? And what's the answer?
Then once he gets to the Midbar, that's when it's obligation.
Correct. His chov is gavra, as imposed on the person, has been fulfilled when the Sayer reaches what? The Midbar. The Rambam says, but we have to send the Sayer off with all the sins of Bnei Israel off the cliff. That's not a din in the chov is Kohen Gadol. That reflects the heft of the Sayer. It's a two-stage process, and we should separate one from the other. Yeah.
If the mitzvah is resonating in the Sayer, that mitzvah, yeah, once it's transferred to the Sayer, when it's once the coin is totally not obligated, and
right,
the mitzvah is being held within the Sayer, why is the mitzvah being obligated into a he-goat and not a collective mitzvah that's just obligated to Bnei Yisrael?
No, I think what the Rav is saying here, he's not telling you that Mr. You know, we knock on the Sar, you know, we whisper into Sar's ear and we say, Mr. Goat, you know, you're obligated to be, you know, that's not what he means. Right. But what he means to say is that as far as the din is concerned, the din is and the obligation is shifted, is you know, the Kohen Gadol is now alleviated of his personal obligation. Now, the Cheftza, the Sayer, that's the din that's inherent in the Cheftza, has to be sent off the Tzuk.
But it's not to say the Sayer actually is
obligated. Right. No, I didn't mean to say that.
No, you didn't.
But both sides, the only thing, my name is Berzon, the only thing that Berzon wants to add here to this beautiful presentation is, I think that the source for tools of risk here is a Rashi in Chumash. I want to read to you a Rashi in Chumash. I think you're all probably familiar with this Rashi. If you want to make a note of it, I wrote it on the top of the page. I don't know if it came out on the photocopy. It's Breishis Chav Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. What do you say?
One quick thing. The tool was like looking at it as two separate obligations.
There are two tools here. One tool is the difference between a gavra and a cheftza. That you could have a chiyuv that's on the gavra, and you could have a chiyuv that's inherent in the cheftza. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. In tzitzis, right, there's one obligation to wear a beged which has four corners with tzitzis on them. There's another obligation, according to one daya, I don't know if you know this, that a tablecloth that has four corners has to have tzitzis on them. We don't pass it like that. But that's an obligation that's inherent in the Cheftza. Right? Of course, I can't talk to the Beged and say, Mr. Beged, please equip yourself with four tzitzios. I have to get... But it's an obligation that's it's built into the Cheftza. So I would like to quote to you a Rashi in Chumash in the Parsha of the Akedah, which is at the end, of course, of Parshas Vayera. You remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram and commands him, Kachno es bincha, es yechidcha, va'aleu shom li'ola. Correct? So the command is given that Yitzchak has to be brought as a korban ola on the Mizbeach. Correct? Now fast forward to Pasuk Yud Beis, and there it says the following. Vayomer, the Malach appears to Avram and says, Al tishlach yodcha lanar, v'altas lo me'uma. So Rashi here says the following. Amar le Avram. Avram turns to the Ribbono Shel'olam and he says, Afaresh lefanecha es sichasi. I want to express to you, Ribbono Shel'olam, my confusion. Esmo amartali. Esmo means, you know, in the past. Kibi Yitzchak yikare lecha. Zara, correct? Chazarta v'yamarta kachno es bincha v'aleu shom liola. So I was pretty confused. How is Yitzchak yikare lecha Zara? He'll be the progeny and the legacy when you're telling me now to shecht him on the Mizbeah. V'achshav ata omer li al tishlach yodcha lanar. Don't even touch him. It's, Avram Avinu is really confused because Avram Avinu knows and believes that God is the God of truth. The commitment of God to truth is like A equals A. I mean, that's the essence of God. So how can you tell me Kachnas bincha v'aleu shom liola and then tell me al tishlach yodcha lanar? That's a head-on collision. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo achalel brisi, I have a total commitment to truth. Motzai sfasai lo ashana, I will not violate the truth of my words. How do we reconcile this? Kishamarti l'cha kach, right, kuf ches, motzai sfasai lo ashana. You have to take Yitzchak, designate him as a karbon. Lo amarti l'cha shachtehu. I didn't say to him, I didn't say to you, Avram Avinu, slaughter Yitzchak. Ela ha'alehu. Put him up on the Mizbeach. Ha'alehu aske v'achte. Put him up on the Mizbeach and take him off the Mizbeach. Ribonishon, what is going on over here? If you bring a karbon, the karbon has to be subject to all the avodos that starts with shechita and then goes to the aktar lemizbeach. How can a Kadosh Baruch Hu say, I told you to bring Yitzchak as an ola, bring him up to the mizbeach, now take him down? What do you mean take him down? If he's a karbon ola, then how can you tell me take him down from the mizbeach? Al tishlach yodcha el anar v'al taslo me'uma. Yisrael Bosai, the answer is tools for brisk. There's a gavra and a chefta. What's the chovas gavra of kachna es bincha v'haleu liola? He has to put him on the mizbeach. Nu, what do you do when a carbon is on the mizbeach? You shecht it and you do all the avodas. Why? That's the din of the chefta shel karbon. The chefta shel karbon has to be taken through step by step through all the different stages of the process of haktar and avodas hakarbon. But that's not the chovas gavra. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram is kachlas v'bincha v'aleu, take him up on the mizbeach. You've designated him as a karbon ola. Then there's another din. But that chiyuv is inherent in the Hefta Shal Karban, that the Karban, insofar as it has a shame Ola, has to achieve Shechita and Akhtara and Zrikas Adam and so forth and so on. But you, Avraham Avinu, have fulfilled your obligation. I obligated you, Kachnas bin Chvaleu, as a Chovas Gavran. You indeed fulfilled that chiyuv. I never told you to shech the animal. Nor was. There's a din in the Hefta Shal Karban that the Hefta Shal Karban engenders an obligation to be shechted, etc. But that I never commanded you. Your command was limited to the Chovas Gavra. And beyond that, your command was fulfilled and it was terminated. Now I'm telling you, Altaslo Ma'uma, don't fulfill the din in the Hefta Shal Karban. That has nothing to do with you, Avraham Avinu. That has to do with me, says God, and the Hefta Shal Karban. I can decide I don't want this Hefta Shal Karban, and therefore the Avodas HaKarban will not be intended.
Is that to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu never told Avram to kill your son and sacrifice him to me?
Correct.
Rather, he just said, Avram, take him as a korban.
Make him into a korban, bring him to the Mizbeach. Beyond that is already a din in the Hefta Shel Karban. That was not included in the purview of the obligation, the command that was given to Avram. You know, Avram's Kiyum HaGavra expired or...
That was a very bad miscommunication.
Yeah. Probably should have known.
No, Avram Avinu was thinking the following. That once Yitzchak has the status of a Karban, he's a Karban Ola, he's a Hefta Shel Karban, and the Hefta Shel Karban obligates me to fulfill that. But the obligation is bounced off the Hefta Shel Karban. It's not part of the original tzivui. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, you know what? I don't want this Hefta Shel Karban. And Rabbosai, I don't know if you'll be honest with me and you'll raise your hand in the affirmative and tell me that you see why I believe that this becomes the paradigm for the Rav's Chiddush about the Sarah Mishtaleach. In the Sarah Mishtaleach, the Kohen Gadol fulfills his personal obligation, his Chovas Gavra, the very moment that the Sarah reaches the Midbar. Now the Cheftza engenders a Chiyuv to be sent off the Tzuk. That's a different pasuk already. That's a different obligation. And the Nafkamina is at what point in time can the Kohen Gadol exit the Azara to read the Sefer Torah? Rabbosai, we should all be zochet to see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash and all these mitzvahs of Avoda and Seder Kohen Gadol, which we learn now almost in an abstract theoretical world, should become a reality. And just a few feet from here, I mean, literally, it's unbelievable that we're so close to the Mizbeach. You know, that's the same Mizbeach that Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak at the Akedah. Chazal even go back in time and say that Adam HaRishon brought Karbonis, Noach brought Karbonis on that place, which is literally a stone's throw from here. So we should be zochet to see the Kohen Gadol in the Azara sending out the Sar Mishtaleach, which will be a kapara for all Klal Yisrael, b'meir v'yomenu. Amen. Wish everyone a gemar chesim tovla. And thanks for joining me today. Shkud. Hope you got something out of it. A little bit of tools for Brisk.
Mind blown.
Okay.
Bang.
This was half of the shiur I prepared for you. The other half is in the rest of the booklet, but we'll... yeah, some other time. I heard you're not going to be in town for... in this part of town. Yeah, thanks.
Where do you... Where can I find...
Thank you so much.
You press in YU Torah.
Yeah.
And then there's a search engine, and you press in Tools for Brisk.
Oh, okay.
Okay, then?